Well, we're going to turn to the Word this morning, and we're going to look at what is Sunday all about in this paid in full. I encourage you to follow along. If you don't take notes, take notes. It's always good. You can remember, what did Pastor Jeff talk about? Now, I know it was something of resurrection. All right, but this way you got the notes, all right? So, Resurrection Sunday, it is the greatest celebration. I know the world looks at Christmas as being the pinnacle of celebration, but as believers, Resurrection Sunday is the marquee celebration, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting that Jesus spoke a lot about his resurrection. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said this. He says, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, he says, must suffer many things. He's talking about going to the cross, the whole Passion Week, everything that was going to take place with the trials, going seven different places of trial and protocol, and that he was going to go through the whipping, the beating, the spitting, all the things that could take place up to Friday. He says, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. But he didn't stop there. Then he says, and be raised the third day. When you look at scripture, 24 times out of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, over 24 times, Jesus himself speaks directly to his death, to his burial, and to his resurrection. He told them that I'm going to rise again from the grave. And it's interesting that Sunday morning, there was nobody waiting for him to step out of the grave. You know, when I see go to the airport and I see people waiting for somebody in an expectation, they got signs out, welcome back, welcome home. They got a driver out there. Maybe somebody like a donkey pulled up and says, Jesus, we got your ride waiting for you. There was nobody, no fanfare for Jesus. He said, I am going to show up Sunday morning and I'm going to step out of the tomb. I'm going to step out with a little swagger. I'm going to step out victorious. I'm going to step out as the conqueror. And nobody was waiting there. There was only Mary Magdalene, who she had seven demonic spirits cast out of her. So people thought maybe she would have been a little crazy still. I don't know. But everybody that showed up, nobody expected he was walking out of the grave. Mary, his mother, and his girlfriend Mary, they showed up with spices to prepare his body for the grave. Even mom did not expect that he was going to step out of the tomb. Everybody thought, this is it. It's over. It's done. He's staying inside. Nobody expected that he, in fact, was coming out of the grave. Talk about a spoiler alert. You ever want to go see a movie and you're all preparing, but you don't want anybody to tell you what the outcome is going to be? Football game, a baseball game? It's like, don't tell me about the score. Jesus up front, spoiler alert, I'm walking out of the grave. And nobody got it. Nobody figured out that this is exactly what Jesus was talking about. I'm coming back. Over and over again, he says, tear this temple down in 3 days and I'm going to rebuild it. And they go, tear it down. You're a carpenter. Now you're a bricklayer. Then he goes, he says, just like Jonah in the belly of the fish, 3 days, I'm going to have to be in the belly of the earth, but then I'm coming up. He's got these fishing stories. What's he talking about? He's a carpenter. But over and over again, Jesus said, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, I'm coming back. And nobody got it. Nobody was there waiting. The Roman soldiers thought, well, just in case, we're going to roll the stone and we're going to have a guard just to make sure nothing happens. But Jesus said, it's not just about my death. It's just not about my burial. It's about my resurrection. 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Two events, Good Friday, and then Resurrection Sunday. But they were all one event. Friday through Sunday was one transaction that occurred. You cannot have Sunday without Friday, but you cannot have Good Friday without Sunday. The two are together. You cannot separate them. And it's so important that we understand, what is Resurrection Sunday all about? Why is it so important? Paul tells us that you can have his death, but if you don't have his resurrection, his death is meaningless. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians. He says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith, my faith, our faith is useless. You're still guilty in your sins. Good Friday, Lord, we thank you, you died for us. But Sunday, him stepping out of the grave was so significant that if it didn't happen, everything he did on Friday would be null and void. It would be just like another man dying on the cross. But it wasn't just another man. It was the Son of God. On Friday, he said three words. He said three words in our English Bible. It comes out as, "It is finished." Seven sayings on the cross, and one of the final ones was, "It is finished." In the Greek, it's the word tetelestai. It is finished. And it tells us about the Friday and the Sunday and how it's joined together. But before I can tell you about what this telestai really means and how it is finished has to do with Sunday, I got to tell you why we had to have a Friday. You see, Friday, Good Friday, was about a debt that was incurred that got paid. A debt that no one could pay, that humanity was so large, nobody could pay the debt, but God said, "I will pay the debt." Why could we not pay? Why could you not pay the debt? What is it about humanity that we could not pay the debt? And it's simply this: God is holy. The holiness of God said that no matter what we bring to a holy God, we cannot pay for our debt. You see, our first parents, Adam and Eve, we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and Adam and Eve were created, and they were created perfect. God said, "It is good, it is good, it is good." And then finally goes to Adam and Eve and says, "It's very good." God created very good, perfect, there to be in the garden with a perfect God. God was perfect. The garden was perfect. Everything they had was perfect. And God said to Adam and Eve, "You can have everything. It's all for your fulfillment, your enjoyment. It's for your sense of who you are, realization, and together we'll enjoy this perfection." But then God said, "You can have everything that's perfect out there. It's all good, but just do not take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day you do it, you'll not only know good, you're now going to know evil. You're going to know what's not good. And then if you do that, you're going to disobey me. Not only will you know what's not good, you'll know evil, but you'll have disobedience. And then we have a separation because now you're not perfect. And I'm perfect. And imperfection can't dwell with perfection. Holiness and unholiness can't be together." So all of a sudden what happened? God and man separated. Sin. There was sin has a debt to pay. Somehow we got to close the gap between God and man. And God said, "There's no way that you, who's imperfect, can bring something perfect to restore the relationship between you and I." Since the disobedience, sin entered the bloodstream of humanity. Sin is a tagline of debt. Disobedience ran through humanity from Adam and Eve all the way till today. And what God created in his image is now marred because of sin. God created us to be perfect in his relationship with him. But now sin comes in and now there's an imperfection. And God says, "We can't have that kind of relationship." So now there's a separation. There's a debt and you can't pay it. I can't pay it. There's nothing in us we can bring to God that will pay our debt. There are futile events. Isaiah the prophet, he says, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags." And I don't know what you think of filthy rags, but I would not want to use it for my life. And God says, "I can't use what you bring." The debt remains unpaid. Anybody here have a debt you can't pay? Don't raise your hand. That's all right. Some of us have debts we can't pay. Maybe we've been paying and paying on this debt. It just doesn't go down. We meet the minimal payment. We got the interest. And hey, I thank God I took Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University. I wish I would have took it a lot when I was younger. Young people, when we offer it again, please take it. It's great for you. Learn how about your finances. But all of a sudden, we get a debt we can't pay. And what do we do? Sometimes we refinance the debts, don't we? We think we're going to get ahead by refinancing. But that's what our sin debt is. We think if we do good enough, give enough, go to church enough, be religious enough, if we will be generous enough, if I'll be better than the person next to me, then my debt won't be so bad and I'll be okay with God. And God says, "No, your debt is so huge, so big, so large, there's nothing you can do to pay the debt." So God says, like a good father, he says, "Let's work this debt thing out." And this is what God says. God says, "The wages of sin is death." Romans 3:23, "All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death." We need death. Somebody's going to die. Anybody want to die? No, nobody wants to die. So God says, we're going to make a plan. I'm going to make a way that if you will sacrifice a Passover lamb, a lamb, if you will take a spotless lamb and bring that lamb and shed it before me, put the blood on the mercy seat, so when I look at the law that you broke, I'll see the blood and it's perfect. So for 1 year, 1 year, interest for, it's like payments on the interest only, the principal doesn't get touched, but for 1 year, you can live your life in a relationship with me. But every year, you've got to make a payment. You never touch the principal, you only hit the interest. The principle of our sin stays consistent throughout life. But God says, if you'll just come with one sacrifice every year, Day of Atonement, I'll look at your life and I won't pull the debt. I won't cause you to have bankruptcy. I won't ask you to all of a sudden give up everything and, as it were, die to yourself. Give your life up. He says, no, I want to keep you alive. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this year after year, year after year. And for 2,000 years, the Jewish nation would bring a sacrifice every year. They would bear shame, they would bear guilt, they would bear heaviness. My sin isn't dealt with. I've got this big debt. What am I going to do? Okay, I'll bring a lamb. And God looks down and he says, okay, 1 year, good. You've paid the basic interest. The debt is still there, but you can have a relationship with me. And for 2,000 years, sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Can you imagine? The moment that they sacrificed and had freedom with their relationship with God, they felt the weight of my debt is still there. Watch these commercials and this people walking with this big red debt on their back, this person hanging on them, just everywhere they go, they got this debt on them, this debt on them. And that's what it was like back in the Jewish days. It was like every day they had guilt, shame. They had the weight of their sin every day until finally one day, they got Day of Atonement, they bring a sacrifice, set free. And like for 30 seconds, it's like, whoa. And then all of a sudden, oh, my debt's still there. I got one more year and then I got to pay another debt. Another time, one more sacrifice, until God intervened. And it says in the scriptures, in the Holy Scriptures, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. God says, hey, time's up. We're not just going to have you pay the interest and leave the principal. We're going to deal with the principal once and for all. We're going to get rid of the debt in your life. The sin debt that's so huge that you can't deal with it any longer. And he comes and he says, this is it. I'm going to have a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. And God looks and he goes, you know, I can't do it because I'm spirit. God is spirit and spirit doesn't die. It needs to be a death. It needs to be a perfect sacrifice. Who's going to do it? And the son steps up and says, Father, I'll do it. I'll die for humanity. And God sent his only son to become flesh. It says, that's the Christmas, the incarnation. Jesus comes, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, there to be born as God in the flesh, living 33 and a half years, sinless, spotless. He is all of a sudden the Passover lamb that he's going to die so that he can pay the debt of humanity. And that's what Jesus did for 33 and a half years. Every word, every action, every thought, every emotion was in perfect alignment with the Father. He says, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father do, and I don't say anything that I don't hear my Father saying. And for 33 and a half years, he was the perfect, spotless Passover lamb. Then all of a sudden, it comes towards Good Friday. And you would think that it's human plan to crucify Christ. It wasn't. It was God's plan all along. God says, I will put a sacrifice to pay the debt for you and me. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 and 21, it says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. For God was made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Good Friday was Jesus, the Passover lamb, dying for you and I to pay the debt. John writes and he says, when he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good. Not for a year, not for a moment, but for good. Not only ours, but the world's as well. And here's the thought. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe, a debt we could not pay. That's Good Friday. He paid the debt. So on the cross, when he said the word tetelestai, it is finished. Even at his death, you have to understand, Jesus chose his words carefully. He did not use just random words. Tetelestai was a word specific for what he was doing. It is finished. Culturally, the word had a number of applications. And I want you to see, as you think about the death and resurrection, what "it is finished" has to do with your life. It first was a word relating to servants. To servants. A servant would serve his master, and his master would tell him what he needs to do. And when the action was completed and was fulfilled in its perfection, the servant would respond back to the master and say, "Master, tetelestai, it's finished, it's completed, it's done exactly as you said." Jesus, on a number of occasions, said, I came to serve, not to be served. He says, "I come to do the will of him who sent me." And he said something like this. He says, "I come to accomplish his work," accomplish, fulfill his work. Jesus at John 17:4 said, "Father, glorified you in the earth. I have finished the work you sent me to do." He was a servant fulfilling the call of a master. That's what he did at the cross for you and I. It was about priests also, this word tetelestai. In those days, the priests would be at the temple and people would bring their sacrifices, their animals, and they would go through the lamb or the animal and look, does it have four legs instead of three? Good. All right. Does it have both eyes? Good. All right. Does it have ear? Good. Tail? Yeah, good. And he'd go through the animal to see if it was a perfect animal without blemish. And if the animal was acceptable, he would take the animal, hold it, and say, "Tetelestai." It's a perfect, receivable sacrifice. When Jesus said "tetelestai," he wasn't just saying the act is over. It was a presentation of his life saying, "God, you wanted a perfect sacrifice? I did no sin. I never fell for the temptations. I never walked any other way but your way. I stand here right now as high priest presenting my life saying, tetelestai, it's a perfect sacrifice for what you asked for." Now it gets a little better. The word tetelestai was also used for prisoners. When a convict went to court and the judge pronounced him guilty, as he moved the prisoner towards the chambers where he would be locked up, the soldiers also had a piece of paper that had what was called certificate of debt. It listed his crimes, all the crimes that they did, and with the crimes was the punishment, the penalty. So when people walked by and saw the prisoner, they go, "You're a thief, and this is what you did. You are a rebellious person. This is what you did. This is what you said." And all the crimes were listed. But when the prisoner paid his price and finished his sentence and he was released, the piece of paper then would be brought back to the judge. And the judge would say, "Has he fulfilled his sentence? Are all his crime debts paid?" They'd say, "Yes." The judge would take the piece of paper, he would sign it and write across it, "Tetelestai, paid in full." So now when he went out and people said, "Hey, I remember you. You were a thief." He says, "But I'm not any longer. Here's the document that says it's paid in full. You can't call me a thief anymore because I have been dissolved. It's all been dealt with by the judge. I don't carry that anymore. Safety, security. No longer could there be accusations against him because he could show the papers to tell us that it's paid in full." So when Jesus went to the cross and he said to tell us die, remember, he had no sin. He had no crime. He was speaking that on behalf of you and I, that when we trust in him as our Savior, as our Lord, everything that we felt guilt about, shame about, all that we broke in our heart and our life and did in this earth that were crimes against humanity, of one another, crime against God, God says, "When you trust me, I can write across your certificate of debt, tetelestai. It's paid for. It's done." Oof, God, thank you. But then, if that's not enough, then it was used for merchants. Merchants. You know, IOUs, when there's bills to be paid, when all of a sudden there was an account to be reckoned, and there was mortgage maybe to be paid, or purchasing of a land, when the transaction was fully done, the accountant would write, "Tetelestai, paid in full." Of recent years, they found it through excavation and archaeology. They found what was an ancient accountant, a CPA of those days. And they have found a stack of invoices that had tetelestai written on it. And it's God saying, your debt, what you owe, that you could never pay, because of what I did, because of the death on the cross, when you trust in me, when you accept what I did on Friday, he says, I write tetelestai across your debts. You are paid up in full. The debt, the shame, the guilt, everything that you have lived with all your life, now that you come to me, I take that debt and I write across it because of my blood shed for you, tetelestai. All of a sudden, Friday takes on a whole different meaning, a whole different meaning. The task is complete, the sacrifice perfect, the list of crimes removed, the debt is paid, Good Friday. So what do these words have to do with Resurrection Sunday? Have you ever paid a bill, maybe online? And man, that bill's been bugging you. That bill has been so large, so long. It's been, man, I just can't handle this. Or you're trying to get rid of it before anybody else sees what you bought. Just saying. You get online and you pay the bill and then you're waiting. Oh, I hope it goes through. Hope it goes through. I want it to go through. And then finally it goes through. You go, oh, it's paid for. It's such a tremendous feeling that heavy debt that you've been waiting for, though you paid it, you were waiting for the transaction to come through. And it's like you make a purchase. And before you walk out of that building, before you walk out of that store, you look in your bag to make sure you've got a receipt that proves that the transaction went through, that what you purchased is exactly yours. When Jesus said, it is finished, he said that on Friday. The receipt was issued. Verification of what was done on Friday occurred when Jesus stepped out of the tomb. See, until Friday, it was just a man dying. It was just somebody dying in place of. But when he stepped out of the tomb, it wasn't just a man. That was the Son of God. The Son of God rose from the grave, and everything that he said he was proven by the fact that he came out of the grave. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Paul writes and he says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. That was the presentation of his sacrifice, holy unto God, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection. Jesus stepping out, walking out, swaggering out. Jesus coming out to his disciples, not only being met by his disciples, but it says he was met over 40 days by over 500 people. It was substantiated that it wasn't just a one-person witness. It wasn't just a possibility. There was so many people that saw him. That validated Jesus as the Son of God. Anybody could die on the cross. Only the Son of God could walk out of the grave. Why do we need Resurrection Sunday? Because Resurrection Sunday validates everything that Jesus did on the cross for you and I. Verified and accepted. And because he lives, we live. Because he died for us, we don't have the debt, the sin, the shame, the guilt. We walk in freedom now. Because he died, but because he lived, we now live. All right. Let me give you just one last thought. In Ephesians 4:8, Jesus not only gave gifts to men, but it says he led captivity captive. He led a host captive, set free, but marched them. What was the possibility of this captivity, these hosts, these individuals that he led triumphantly? Peter writes and talks about how Jesus, during a time between Saturday and Sunday, went and did something so remarkable. He preached a triumphant sermon to the spiritual life and all the forces that spoke against him. And he says, I live. You thought I died, but I lived. And then he went to the old, all the Hebrews that for years and years waited for their debt to be paid. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews says that they waited in faith and they never saw what you and I saw, Jesus walking out of the grave. And it's like Jesus went back to Abraham and says, Abraham, you were waiting for this day that I would come out of the grave, that I would rise again. When you sacrificed your son, that was a picture of me dying. And he says, now I live. Abraham, give me your hand. And he stamps it paid in full. He goes to Moses and says, Moses, you were to be a prophet. There was going to be a prophet just like you, and that's me. He says, you know how you delivered with the Passover lamb millions of people out of Egypt, out of tyranny, of bondage? I did the same thing but of sin. Give me your hand, Moses. And he stamps it paid in full. And he goes through the line of Joseph. And he goes through the line of David. He goes through the line of all the martyrs and all the people. And he says, what I did at the cross wasn't just for people today. It wasn't just for people in the future. It was for you who put faith in me. And he began to stamp their hands paid in full. And he led them captivity. He led these ones now into the freedom, into the presence of God. And they would march in raising their hand saying, paid in full. What Jesus did on the cross was not just for that day, was not just for us, but anyone that put their faith in Christ from the beginning of time, they have been set free, their debts have been paid, and now they go through. There's no mortgage on a Christian's life. There's no debt on a believer's life. They are paid up in full because of the righteousness of Christ. Jesus led captivity captive. He leads you and I in. And all we have to do is raise a hand and says, paid in full, paid in full. It's all dealt with. Jesus paid it all. A debt we could not pay, a debt he did not deserve. As the band comes, the question as we end here is, what does this mean to you? What about it? What is this Resurrection Sunday, what's all this about? Number one, it's about you trusting the Lord. Saying to the Lord, Lord, I need a debt paid. And the only way the Lord will credit your account, listen to me, the only way God will take his righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, and put it in your account, the only way, you have to declare bankruptcy. You have to say, I can't pay this at all. You have to say, God, I have to trust you to pay this bill. My sin, my guilt, my shame, it's only you. I can't do anything good enough. I can't attend church. That won't do it. Reading my Bible won't do it. Being good will not make it right with God. Only Jesus Christ's death on the cross will make it right. If you will accept him, give up your life, your way, you can have your debts paid for. But there's more. Because he stepped out of the grave, everything that he said he would do, everything he said he was, everything he said he'll promise you is true because he stepped out of the grave. What do you have need of the Lord today? What have you not had faith to ask the Lord? If the Lord can step out of the grave, be resurrected. If he can move forth in life, he can do anything else in your life. What do you have need of today? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's how much he wants to work in your life. What's dead? Your hopes, your dreams? Let the spirit of resurrection come. A marriage, a relationship. You say, it's dead. It's never going to work. Oh, God's into resurrecting things. God's into healing things. God's into pouring joy and fulfillment and destiny in hearts and lives that are so hard. Nah, you don't know the stone that's rolled over my heart. Nah, he knows the stone that was rolled over his grave. And that stone was pulled back so everybody could see Jesus Christ lives. He's our victory. He's our champion. He's our healer. He's our joy. He's our purpose. He's our destiny. He's everything. Jesus said these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He doesn't just resurrect, he gives God life. He gives full life. He gives abundant life. What do we celebrate today? Jesus stepped out of the grave. Jesus rose again from the dead. He said, everything I did on Friday, it's true, it's alive, it's done. Transaction is dealt with. And now I want to live inside of you and give you everything that you have a desire for. I'm the resurrection and the life. He's our victory. He's our champion. Sundays, Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. I don't know about you, but I get excited when I think about what he did for us. But why don't we stand here? Why don't we stand here as we close? Follow this song and speak out the words and confess these words of what the Lord has done for your life and my life.